Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. The church at Corinth in the first century was divided into at least four different factions. Some said, "I am of Paul," others, "I am of Apollos," others, "I am of Cephas," that is Peter, and others said, "I am of Christ." And Paul indicates that everybody in the church was acting this way. They were all divided up this way. "Now I say," verse 12, "that each of you says," and the words that need to be inserted, therefore, that are not in the text, are one of the following. "Each of you says one of the following: I am of Paul," or "I am of Apollos," or "I am of Cephas," or "I am of Christ." And to start dealing with this problem, Paul first asks three rhetorical questions, all of which demand the answer no. Is Christ divided? No, he's certainly not. Was Paul crucified for you? No, certainly not. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, certainly not. None of those things is true. Christ is one Savior, and his body is one body. He is the head of one body, not many different bodies. Was Paul crucified for you? Certainly not. He couldn't be. Nobody could be. Only the sinless, eternal Son of God incarnate was qualified to be crucified for anyone when it comes to salvation. No, Paul wasn't crucified for you. Jesus Christ was crucified for you. He's the one you worship. He's the one you honor. He's the Supreme One. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Nope, not most of you. None of you were baptized in the name of Paul, and most of you weren't baptized by Paul at all, is what he goes on to say. And that's what we are following through on now as we've come to this Wednesday, April 14 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And as we continue on, because radio listeners like you help us with the cost of paying the bills to the radio station so that we can teach God's Word on this station. And Paul makes it clear in verses 14, 15, 16 that he did not baptize many Corinthians. I'll read that section again. "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest," and don't miss that one, "lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name." That's why. Now I go back to that. Maybe none of you have encountered anyone who has used verse 14 to teach that Paul had changed his mind about water baptism and that he had come to the position that water baptism was for the early days of the Christian church but was no longer part of Christian doctrine and practice as you move along in the development of the church. I have been in the presence of more than one person who has taught that erroneous doctrine. I had someone who told me with great delight about a Baptist minister who had closed up his baptistry He had actually built a brick or block wall in the place of the opening and just blocked it right on up so that it no longer could be used, because he had come to the conclusion that water baptism was not God's will for his people today. It was only for those earliest days, earliest years of the Christian church. And this text is one that is employed to teach that. And that's not what it says. And all you have to do is couple it with the next verse. So many errors in Christian doctrine could be corrected if you just read another verse or two. Who has said it? Many have, but it needs to be said again. A text out of context becomes a pretext. It becomes a pretext for teaching something the Bible doesn't teach. And that's what you've got here. So verse 14 says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Why, Paul? Well, I'll tell you, verse 15, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. That's the reason. I didn't baptize most of you. He had to baptize the first few. Who else would do it? There wasn't anybody else to do it. But once there were a number of baptized believers, just a few in this case, once perhaps others came to assist Paul in his missionary endeavors. After all, he was aided by Timothy and by Silas on this journey, who came to join him in Corinth, though he arrived there at first by himself, and he started his ministry by himself. But then others came to help, so perhaps he assigned the task of baptizing to them. And then, of course, as the Corinthian church itself developed, and perhaps elders were appointed in the church, then they could do the baptizing, so that however many members there were in the Corinthian church, and there could have been scores and possibly even hundreds, nevertheless, only a very few had been baptized by Paul himself. I thank my God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. That also, I think, is an indication of what Paul is saying here. I can't remember clearly if I baptized anyone else because I'm not trying to make followers for myself. I'm not keeping a list somewhere. Well, I've got X number of converts in the city of Corinth, and I have X number of baptized believers that I have baptized personally to indicate the success that I've had in the city of Corinth. And this list of people that I have baptized is the proof of my effective ministry in Corinth. Paul didn't boast in that way. And so he says, I don't even remember if there was anybody else, because I wasn't trying to baptize as many as I could. I wasn't trying to keep a list of those that I baptized. I wasn't putting notches in my belt and notches in the handle of my gun. I wasn't doing that. I was trying to point people to Christ. I was trying to establish a strong church, a local church of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was trying to turn this baptism function over to the church rather than to the missionary, to the traveling evangelist, which of course is what Paul was, who would be going on to another place. I was trying to establish a strong church of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, not followers of the Apostle Paul. For, and this is another text that is used by the people I mentioned earlier, who teach that baptism is no longer for our age. For, verse 17 says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul's main priority was the gospel. But then that statement misunderstood and misused, distorted a bit, colored a bit, slanted a bit in order to teach the doctrine that I, the false doctrine that I mentioned a moment ago, will use this statement, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Well, we'll get into that a little bit more in the moment, but again, that statement has to be taken in the light of these others. It has to be taken in the light of the statement of verse 15. "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name." Same thing is true here. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The gospel is more important. It's not that baptism has disappeared. It's not that baptism has been abrogated. It's not that baptism is no longer a part of God's will. It is. But if you're going to compare water baptism to the gospel, which is most important? Well, clearly the gospel. And when it comes to this matter of cliques, you've got to get away from this idea of, "I was baptized by so-and-so." I can remember years ago talking to a man who attended our church a few times. His wife continued to attend for years, became a member of our church until she died, and she's now with the Lord. But her husband came, and I went out to the house and talked to him and inquired about the state of his soul and his relationship with the Lord. And he told me he was saved. He was a Christian because, with great pride, he told me that he had been saved under the ministry of, and he mentioned an evangelist who was a famous evangelist in this man's earlier years. Now, that would go back, I don't know how many years now. I suppose I'd have to lose track. We'll probably have to go back 70, 80 years. But when he was a young man, he had gone to an evangelistic crusade conducted by this famous evangelist, and he apparently had answered an altar call, an invitation that was issued, and he had gone forward and made a decision for Christ. And that was the banner that he waved, the flag that he waved. "I am a convert of this famous evangelist." And I tried to remind him that the important thing was not the evangelist from whom he heard the gospel, or the evangelist under whose ministry he made a decision for Christ. The important thing was that he was trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had been born again by the Spirit of God, that he was believing the gospel of Christ. It just concerned me that he was making too much of the human instrument and not enough of Jesus Christ, and that concerned me. I fervently hope that he will greet me when I arrive in heaven, and that he will be stronger, way stronger, in his understanding of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, which he surely will be if he's there, than he was upon the earth. But the way he talked concerned me, that perhaps he didn't even know Jesus Christ at all. He seemed to be looking to a man for salvation instead of to Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." That's what's important. And so Paul is dealing with these divisions, these cliques in the church. And we need to examine our own lives and our own attitudes in the life of what God is teaching us here in this portion of his word. And so join me again tomorrow at the same time. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.